It is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I pray that your week has gone well, that the Lord has gotten you to this place and this space this day, and that you're able to give God glory, give him praise today. I don't know about you, but that music just helped me this morning. Amen. It helped me this morning. Amen. I had a rough week. Amen. And I'm grateful. Amen. That when I enter into the house of the Lord, amen, I can just shake it off and let it go and let God do what he gonna do. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. Amen. For letting the Lord use you this morning. Let's pray together. Most gracious and eternal Father, we thank you so much for your loving kindness, your tender mercies. Thank you for your all-sufficient grace. We're grateful that you have allowed us another opportunity to enter into your house of worship. And we're grateful that we have already worshiped you through song and through fellowship and through the lifting of our hands and the opening of our mouths. Now, God, we pray you help us to worship you through the word. We pray again, O God, that again you would stand in my body, think with my mind, speak with my voice, touch these lips of clay, that I may be able to edify your people according to the power that works in me. And then, O God, we pray you speak to the stillness of our hearts, that we might know we've heard from on high. And when it's all said and done, we'll be careful to make sure that we get out of the way, that all glory, all honor, all praise goes to you. Do what you do, Lord. Have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise be to God. Listen, beloved, if you got your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to 1 Kings, the 19th chapter. 1 Kings, the 19th chapter, and we're going to highlight in our hearing today. I just want to highlight, keep your Bibles open. I just want to highlight verse 4, if you don't mind. And then we'll jump right in it. But keep your Bibles open so that you don't think I'm making this up. And I want in your spare time, when you got time that you set aside with the Lord, I want you to read the entire chapter of 1 Kings 19. Very familiar passage of scripture. Let me highlight verse 4, reading from the English Standard Version. You're talking about Elijah, but he himself, meaning Elijah, went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat. Came and sat down under a broom or a juniper tree, and he asked that he might die, saying, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers." I want to put a tag on this text, talk about for a timely tidbit, battling the blues, battling the blues. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Listen, beloved, I think of a counseling center hotline voicemail message that correctly sums up how we often feel. It says like this: "Thank you for calling. If you are an obsessive compulsive, press 1 repeatedly. If you are codependent, please ask someone to press 2 for you. If you have multiple personalities, press 3, 4, 5, and 6. If you are paranoid, delusional, remember that we know who you are even while you've been on hold. We have been tracing this call. If you are a schizophrenic, listen carefully, and a little voice will tell you which number to press. If you are a manic depressive, it doesn't matter which number you press. No one is going to answer. Have a good day." Listen, beloved, when you think of that, listen, we might laugh, but the truth is, when it comes to discouragement, doubt, defeat, delusion, delusionment, depression, listen, those things are no laughing matter. In our text today, the prophet Elijah had just left the mountaintop of victory by defeating the prophets of Baal, and by now we find him in our text, verse 9, chapter 19, in the valley of despair. The truth is, beloved, Beloved, when you read the Holy Writ, we see Elijah as a student servant, a stalwart soldier, but we shall grasp today, we shall see him as a suffering saint. In 1 Kings chapter 17, we see his humility. In chapter 18, we see his heroism. In chapter 19, this chapter, we see his humanity. Here are the words of James chapter 5, verse 17, that are proven to us that he was a man subject to like passions as we are. Truth is, we find in this text the classic case of clinical depression in the time and the life of Elijah. Elijah could have chimed right with the words of Albert King, who sang the song, "I've been down so long, you know down, don't bother me. I'm going to take all my troubles and cast them into the deep blue sea." Do you know, beloved, that every year in America, 9.5% of all adults are diagnosed with some degree of clinical depression. Experts tell us that one out of every four women will suffer from clinical depression at some point, and one out of every 10 men, mainly because men are less likely, help me hear someone, to admit their problems and seek help. I know you get that on the way home. Listen, men, we don't like to tell that we got issues and challenges and difficulties, and so it just denotes that there's only one out of 10, and I already know there are far more men who suffer from depression and doubt and disillusionment. Depression is the leading case of disability in America, as well as the leading cause of alcoholism, drugs, drug abuse, and other addictions. And untreated, depression is the number one case of suicide. And listen, beloved, we are in this pandemic, and there are folk who are literally going stir crazy, still stayed up in the house, don't know if this new variant is coming or going, and we are still dealing in some areas that is leading a whole lot of our folk to areas of depression and doubt and defeat and discouragement. And so I want to lift today, how do you battle that? How do you battle the blues? How do you battle when you're going through something in your life? And listen, beloved, when you look at Elijah, he is battling the blues. Here it is. Can he help us? I believe he can today with the help of the Lord through the Holy Word. What do you do when you are battling the blues? Here, verse 1, let me give you the backdrop. Verse 1 says, Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with a sword. And as soon as the prophets of Baal were humiliated on Mount Carmel, Ahab runs home to tell his wife Jezebel what Elijah had done. Truth is, there's a great omission in his report. Who was omitted from this report was the Lord. Listen, according to chapter 18, verse 38, it had said that the fire of the Lord had fell and consumed the burnt sacrifices and the wood and the stone and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trenches. Don't miss that, beloved, because hear me, the contest of Carmel was about proving who indeed was the real God. I hope somebody hears me today. It was to prove who the people should really follow above. Was it Baal or was it God Almighty? And Ahab had totally left God out of the report. And right up front, we can talk about the blues and discouragement, defeat and doubt, and even depression. And the first line of defense to any blues, any depression or defeat or discouragement is to settle within your heart who God is. I hope somebody hears me today, that God is God and we are not. And there is no other God above him or beyond him, or no other God that controls him or tells him what to do. I wish somebody would help me. That's the first line of defense. I gave you that for free. If you ain't settled that in your heart, you better settle it in your heart right now. That that there is one God. I wish somebody would help me. And he can do what no other God can do. Preach, Reese. I'm trying to do that if you let me. Listen, beloved. Ahab, verse 2 says, he runs home, tells his wife, and Jezebel sent messenger to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me, and more so, if I don't make your life as one of them by tomorrow this time. Jezebel puts a bounty on Elijah's head and signs his death warrant. She sends a personal telegram to Elijah saying, by this time tomorrow, big boy, you're going to be dead meat. You're going to be pushing up daisies. You're going to be taken out of here on a stretcher. And listen, beloved, the story reminds us that winning the battle does not mean the war is over. Karma was a great and glorious victory, but quickly on the heels of victory, hear me, beloved, Elijah found himself being under attack. Please note, beloved, the smile of God is always followed by the scorn of the devil. Listen, in other words, whenever God blesses, we can always expect the devil to fight, to come to discover that blessings are followed by battles, triumphs are followed by trials, victories are followed by adversities, highs are followed by lows. And listen, beloved, mountaintop experience usually are followed by being in the valley low. Please never forget that a time of elevation is oftentimes followed by times of desperation. And that's enough to give one the blues. Preach, Reese, I'm trying to do that. At the heart of Elijah's blues was his sworn enemy, but at the heart of our blues is the great enemy of our soul. Verse 3 says, and when he saw that, in other words, when Elijah saw what Jezebel was trying to do, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, the text says, and left his servant there. From what we have seen of Elijah, when you read his story up to this point, listen, beloved, we would think that such a threat would mean absolutely nothing to him. This is the same man who for the last few chapters had the backbone of a steel trap, and yet in chapter 19 he is resisting. Elijah is running, and the question we have to ask is, why did he run? I'm glad you asked. Well, first of all, I think he ran because there was he was assaulted by fear. That's my first point. He was assaulted by fear. It is surprising to see Elijah looking at things the way he did, especially considering how he looked at things prior to Jezebel's actions. Once he heard that Jezebel wanted him dead, the text says he ran for his life. The words literally mean he sought to spare his own life. There's no other way to interpret Elijah's movement and reaction except for fear. Is this not the same Elijah who had boldly walked into Abraham's presence and announced that it would not rain? Is this not the same Elijah who had boldly said to Obadiah, go and tell Ahab, I'm coming? Is this not the same Elijah that boldly confronted the 850 prophets of Baal at Mount Carmel? How stunning to find him fearful of Jezebel and her death warrant. In the words of F.B. Meyers, speaks for many of us. He says it like this: for what we have seen of Elijah, we would have expected that he would receive the message with unruffled composure, laying it before God in quiet confidence, assured that God would hide him in the secret of his pavilion from the wrath of man and shield him from from the strife of tongues. Surely he would preserve him with dignified silence or return an answer like that of Chrysostom sent on a similar occasion to the empress. Go tell her I fear nothing but sin. But instead of this, we are told, and surely the sacred historian must have heaved a deep sigh as he wrote these words, when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life. Yes, beloved, I don't know about you. We all find ourselves stunned and mystified and blown away to find Elijah, this great prophet of God, running for his life. No one would have expected this reaction from him. Are you listening to me? Listen, let's not get so high and haughty and try to look down on Elijah, because if we're honest, we understand Elijah, don't we? For many, when the enemy comes at us, one of our first reactions is fear. Are you listening to me? We ain't got time to play a game like we got it all together. Like we ain't afraid of anything. But the truth is, we recognize when our back is up against the wall, when we are between the devil and the deep blue sea, when we are going through it, we recognize that fear is real. Listen, when you get bad news from the doctor, the fear of dying may come upon you. When you lose your job, the fear of losing everything you got and everything you work for, listen, beloved, and the fear of how you're going to make it can overcome us. Are you listening to me? When someone you love passed from this side, listen, we have a fear of how we're going to live without them, and we have a fear of loneliness. Listen, if we're honest, fear can lead to some dark, defeated, depressing, and discouraging days. One of the great encouraging things about the Bible is it does not mask over the flaws, the faults, nor the failures of many of the great giants of faith. I'm grateful for that, because listen, for example, when the Bible talks about Noah who built the ark, it also tells us that Noah got drunk and exposed himself before his son. When the Bible talks about Abraham, the great father of the faith, it also tells us how he lied about Sarah twice in order to save his own skin. When the Bible highlights Jacob, it tells us that he was of his great exploits of faith, but it also tells us that he was a crook, a con artist, and a cheat. When we see Moses, we don't just see him parting where it sees. We know him as a murderer and how he struck the rock in defiance of the Lord's command and denied entrance into the promised land. And even when you look at David, the Bible doesn't tell us just of his great victory over Goliath. It also tells us about his adultery and his murder of Uriah the Hittite, Bathsheba's husband. When the Bible tells us about Peter, it doesn't just tell us that he walked on water. It doesn't tell us that he took control there on the day of Pentecost. It tells that how he allowed the Holy Ghost to take control on the day of Pentecost, but it tells us about that dark night when he cussed out that little girl around the fire camp and denied the Lord three times. And here in our text, listen, beloved, I'm grateful that God didn't just give us Mount Carmel. He didn't just give us, listen, beloved, this mountaintop experience. He also showed us Elijah's valley low. Are you listening to me? In our text, we see a coward who runs fearfully for his life. And I don't know about you, that's encouraging to me, because it reminds me that the Bible heroes and sheroes weren't bulletproof superheroes. They were people just like you and I who are prone to mess-ups, to mishaps and mistakes. They're individuals who weren't superheroes, but they had issues. Are you listening to me? That in spite of all their weaknesses, in spite of all their woes, and all the work that they accomplished for the Lord, God used them in a mighty way. Elijah is fearful. And beloved, if you're too holy to understand that, if you got this super anointing on your life that you ain't ever experienced fear in this world, I ain't talking to you. Come on, somebody help me. If you got a big old S on your chest that says superhero or super in the faith, listen, I ain't talking to you, but I'm trying to talk to some real folk who, even though you love God and know God and want to serve God and want to give God everything you got, every now and then life can hit us in such a way that fear can overtake us. Are you listening to me? Elijah got fearful because, listen, even as a Christian who loves God and want to do God's will, listen, we get afraid, and I know I ain't in here by myself. Am I right about it? The truth of the matter is, beloved, listen, the blues set in when we are fearful, but let me just throw this in quickly. Help me here, somebody. Fear is of the devil. I'd be wrong if I didn't tell you that the Bible did not give us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. We need to know that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And absolutely nothing we go through in this world, no matter how fearful we are, listen, nothing is too hard for God. I wish I had some saints up in here that know when to shout. Come on, somebody help me. Absolutely nothing is too hard for God, because somebody can testify that it was God that kept me when I didn't have a job and I don't know how I made it. All I know is that God kept supplying my need when I lost, when someone in my life passed. I thought I wasn't going to make it. I thought I was going to lose it all. But somehow or another, God comforted me and he showed me that I could make it. Are you listening to me? If you had 5 seconds, I'll give it to you. Just give God some praise for all the stuff he brought you through. You ought to just tell God, thank you for being the God that you are, that in spite of my fears, you remain faithful to me. Preach, Reese, I'm trying to do that. Listen, beloved, I believe Elijah was, listen, I believe the reason why he had the blues was because Elijah was assaulted by fear, but also I believe, beloved, he was arrested by fatigue. Hear me, beloved, one of the reasons that fear had assaulted Elijah is because Elijah is exhausted. He is spent. He is tired spiritually and emotionally and mentally and physically. And as a result, he finds himself going from the highest high to the lowest low. He had just experienced a grueling day of spiritual warfare, and since being provided for at Zarephath, Elijah had not eaten anything. And to top it off, he had been running for 15 to 20 miles from Jezreel to Beersheba without a Red Bull or a 5-hour energy drink. Hear me, beloved. Here is a man whose tank is bone dry, and one of the problems of physical exhaustion is that it will take its toll out on our spiritual energy level. One writer said, a sick body leans toward melancholy and depression. In other words, when we are weak, when we are fatigued, our outlook is seldom upbeat, but negative and pessimistic. We see the glass half empty instead of the glass being half full. And that is one of the reasons why Elijah's heart, hear me, beloved, has given way to fear, because he is full of fatigue. Alexander McLaren said, the height of the crest of one wave measures the depth of the trench of the next. Hear me, beloved. In other words, when we experience highs in life, there's oft times a ripple effect toward an experience low. Truth is, when we run down physically, it doesn't take a serious attack by a Jezebel to send us into the pit of despair. Most of the sometimes it takes a little irritant to send us into a spiritual spiral. Are you listening to me? That's why it is always unwise, beloved, to make spiritual decisions when we are physically tired, sick, mentally strained, and emotionally spent. Any decision made during those times are oftentimes bad decisions and a recipe for disaster. Listen, hear me. Truth of the matter is, it is that physically we can overwhelm the spiritual, but it is the spiritual that should override the physical. I know, beloved, for myself, there have been times where I've absolutely been physically exhausted, mentally and emotionally. I had to get up to preach, and God was simply gracious enough to pour out some fresh oil into an empty vessel. But there have been other times when I was so spent, so sick, so tired that my faith seemed so weak. Help me hear somebody. I was like Elijah, listen, ready to just throw in the towel because of a seemingly insurmountable problem, overwhelming troubles, or devastating difficulties. And listen, such is the diagnosis of Elijah in our text as he runs. Listen, anybody in here ever been tired in your life? Life has made you exhausted. You've been tired. It has made you fatigued, beat down, or feeling drained. Sitting in this pandemic and trying to figure all this stuff out. You're trying and trying to keep on doing. You're tired, and you're tired of doing, tired of waiting, tired of looking for your breakthrough. Anybody in here ever been ready to throw in the towel? Anybody in here ever wanted to walk away? Anybody in here ever wanted to pick up your toys and go home and never to be seen of again? Listen, anybody ever wanted to quit because you're tired of dealing with these seemingly insurmountable problems in your life? Please note right here, beloved, you are not alone. Yes, I said it, I'll say it again. You ain't where you are by yourself. There are a whole lot of folk in this world that's honest enough to tell you that even though they Christians, even though they love God, they've been at that spot. They wanted to quit. They wanted to throw in the towel. They wanted to walk away. They wanted to give up. Are you listening to me? Reminds me of this young lawyer who in the 1800s suffered from such a deep depression that his friends did everything they could to keep all the razors and knives away from him. He wrote these words, "I am now the most miserable man living. To remain as I am is impossible. I must die to be better." This lawyer became the 16th president of the United States. Can I tell you, his name was Abraham Lincoln. It reminds me also of a man considered by most to be the greatest preacher since the Apostle Paul, by the name of Charles Spurgeon. He was given to periods of depressions, and history tells us that there were times when, listen, on occasions, his deacons would have to come and physically carry their pastor to the pulpit. What does that tell us? What does that say about life? It tells us that if you've suffered, hear me, beloved, and are suffering from doubt, discouragement, depression, you are not alone. It is a common experience of life. If you have not gotten tired and wanted to quit in this life, if you've not gotten to the place where you want to quit your job, quit your boo, quit trying to put forth the effort, the energy, or the enthusiasm, Big Mama says it like this: keep on living, just keep living, and sooner or later, life will hit you square in the face. And this is for free. Listen, beloved, when we get tired, when we get fatigued, when we get exhausted or worn out, when we, listen, beloved, that's when we do some of the craziest,
stuff as a Christian. Here's my advice to you. Write this down. When you get tired, when you get exhausted, when you get the blues in your life, watch what you say, watch where you go, and watch what you do. Can I say that again? When you get exhausted, when you get tired, you gotta hear me like that great theologian Will Shakespeare, to thine own self be true. I'm gonna tell you, when you get tired, when you get weary, when you get worn, when you get the blues, watch what you say, watch what you do, and watch where you go. Write that down, beloved. That's gonna help somebody. You better watch what you say, because we say some of the craziest stuff when we get tired. You better watch where you go, because we go places we ought not go when we are tired, and do stuff we ought not do. That's why we gotta watch what we do. I'm giving you that for free, because, beloved, we gotta be careful that we are tired, we are exhausted, we need a break. And listen, beloved, you better recognize that if you don't take a break, you better recognize sooner or later a break will take one for you. Are you listening to me? To where you'll end up in the hospital, laying on your back, where you ain't got nothing else to do but to look up. Can I tell you that whatever you're doing in life, you better recognize that whatever it is, it can go on without you. Can I tell you, listen, beloved, you ain't that important. You ain't got it going on that much. You ain't got all the know-how. There are other folk who can do what you do, so you might as well take a break. And if you take a break, things will keep on rolling as if you were there. Are you listening to me? It may not be up to the speed you want. It may not be just like you, but God knows how to send a ram in the bush to take care of his business. So write this down, put it in the comment sections. Baby girl, brother man, take a break.
I hope this thing is on. Listen, beloved, because I'm talking to somebody right now who needs to go on vacation. I'm about to go myself, hallelujah, to the land. Somebody needs to get up out of there. Somebody needs to isolate themselves, get them some time with the Lord, so that God can continue to pour into your life. You're tired, you're wore out, you're exhausted. And I believe that's what happened with Elijah. I believe battling the blues, we see that Elijah was assaulted by fear. He was, if you would, beloved, he was arrested by fatigue, but I also want us to see that there was some abandonment by faith. Listen, of his faith. Text says that he ran from Jezreel, which was the northern part of Israel, not far from the Sea of Galilee, all the way to Beersheba. Listen, for the farther southern border of the nation, he ran past Jerusalem, past Bethlehem, past Hebron. Listen, Elijah was so scared that he decided to run as far from Jezebel as he could. That meant a change of climate, because Jezreel is pasture, but Beersheba was in the desert. Are you listening to me? What happened to this Old Testament man of steel? Where is Elijah we first met? Where is the Elijah we first met when he showed up out of nowhere to declare what thus saith the Lord? Why would a man of fearless courage become a man of undesirable cowardice? Listen, beloved, how could he go from declaring the Lord is my God to I just want to die? The fate that once defined him now seems to desert him. The fate that once shaped him now silenced him. The faith that once affirmed him now seems to abandon him. Does not the same thing often happen to us? How easy it is for God, when everything is going our way, it's easy to serve him. How easy it is for us to come to church and be at church and serve in church and be around fellow believers when things are going well. How easy it is for us to sing and to shout when all the bills are paid and everything is going our way. How easy for us to beloved, to sing and shout when the kids are healthy and the job is secure. But for some, the first sign of trouble, we often act like Elijah, ready to quit, ready to throw in the towel, ready to give up on God. As soon as the sun stops shining and the rain begins to fall and the faith that once lifted us now leaves us. Listen, and before long, we are trying to run away from our problems, run away from people, run away from the peril. But the truth is, beloved, what we come to understand is that as God, we only want to serve as long as we get what we want, is a God that you will want to forsake as soon as you don't get something you want. Truth is, beloved, a God only worth serving in the good times is not much of a God at all. We got to serve him in all times, in the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I by no means is condemning or shaking my finger at Elijah, for how many times have we been guilty of the same reaction? Our hearts have been filled with fear when we took our eyes off the Lord and we were forgetful of his faithfulness and of his promises. And even though we could not point to one occasion when the Lord had failed us, hear me, beloved, there have been times where we were forgetful that of the Lord's precious promises in our life, and it seemed as if we abandoned our faith. Countless hours have been filled with worry and anxiety and fear, and we took our eyes off of him, the author and finisher of our faith, and focused our eyes on our problems. That's why the Apostle Paul says we ought not worry about anything, but pray about everything. Are you listening to me? It reminds me of the Scottish preacher John McNeil, who tells of an experience when his father in his boy with his father in his boyhood days. He says, as a lad, he had been to town, and it was late in starting the march of 6 to 7 miles through the lonely valley to his house. The night was very dark, and the road had a bad name. And in the densest of darkness, McNeil said, there suddenly rang out a great, strong, cheery voice. Is that you, Johnny? Is that you? It was my father, the bravest, the strongest man I ever knew. And then McNeil adds, many a time since when things have gotten a little black and gloomy in my life, he says, I have heard a voice greater than any earthly father saying, fear not, for I am with thee. I like that, beloved. I bid you adieu when I tell you this. Yes, God is with us, even when evil Jezebels are against us. Like Elijah, there are times when we fear and often forget the precious promises of God. But better note, beloved, God is with us. Is that all right to say today? Therefore, we need not fear. Therefore, we should not forget that God is right there all along. Elijah feared and forgot. We fear and forget. The psalmist says it like this in Psalms 27 verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. He goes on to say, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I like that, beloved, because I need to tell somebody today that if God be for us, he's more than the world against us. I need to remind someone that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Is that all right to say? Listen, do I need to tell you that we can cast all of our cares upon him? Why, Reese? Because God cares for us. Do I need to tell you, beloved, that we are not alone? For God promised never to leave us nor forsake us. And we might be hiding under the broom tree, the juniper tree, but he promised to be with us always, even to the end of the age. I like the way the songwriter put it. He says, I've seen the lightning flashing. I've heard the thunder roll. I felt sin breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. But I heard the voice of Jesus.
Jesus, hear me, beloved, telling me to still fight on. Do I need to tell somebody fight on today? Why? Because he promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. So I need to tell somebody keep on fighting. I know it's tough today, but God has a way of breaking through all of the depression, all of the difficulty. I want to encourage you today to hold on, hang in there, and keep your hand on the gospel plow. God will see you through. Can I say that again? God will see you through. Can I say that one more time? God will see you through. And although fear may be there and fatigue may be there, and although your faith may not be what it ought to be, even though you may give up, God has not given up on you. Somebody ought to shout hallelujah to the Lamb that God hadn't given up on us battling the blues. Listen, beloved, I'm done. I'm done today. I done shouted myself enough. Just a little music real quick right here. I want to open what we used to call open the doors of the church. I never did like that, because once Christ opened the doors, they have remained open. We ain't got to open them again. Hello, somebody. I want to extend, if I would, an invitation for those who do not know the Lord. Listen, this ideal of battling the blues, this ideal of depression and doubt and discouragement, fear and fatigue, and seemingly a loss of faith, beloved, is real. And the reason I know it's real is because we serve a God that's real. And in the book, he tells us that there's an enemy out there roaming to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. He's like a roaring lion, and he's trying to take us out. And one of the greatest tools that the enemy uses is defeat or discouragement, doubt and depression. I need to tell you, beloved, you can make it. Whoo! You can, whoo! You can make it. With the Lord on your side, with God as your help, you can make it. But beloved, let me tell you, you're struggling today because you may not be in relationship with him. And you say, well, I go to church or I don't go to church. And all this, I'm not talking about coming to church. I'm talking about being in relationship with God. Because God knows that if you get in relationship with him, all the other stuff, God will work those things out. So if you're out there today and you say, Pastor, I want to be in relationship with the Lord, and I just don't know how. Here's what the Bible says. In Romans 10:9, it says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thy heart God raised him from the dead, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. In other words, beloved, that if we would confess with our mouth that Christ died on Calvary for our sins. We came into this world sinners. I know that's a bad word to use today, but it's reality. We came in messed up. And the Bible declares that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of what Christ did on the cross, if we would just believe in Jesus, that he died for our sins on that cross, the Bible says we shall be saved. You got to confess it with your mouth. And you got to believe it in your heart. And the Bible says you'll be saved. So if you're here and you're out there today and you've never given your life to the Lord, I encourage you, make that decision today. But also if you're out there and you say, well, Pastor, I'm saved, but I know the Lord, but I don't have a church home. Every Christian needs a place to call home. And you need a local church body to help you to grow and mature, a body that you are connected with, that is watching your spiritual growth and helping you to grow as a believer. And listen, you might find a church just as good as St. Paul, but listen, you ain't gonna find one any better. Today, your search can end
You can give your life to the Lord today, or you can join this church family. Just call that number that's flashing across that screen, that's scrolling across the screen, that's there on the screen, and somebody gonna pick up that line, and they'll call you back, and they will lead you either to faith in Christ or to be a family, be a part of the family of the St. Paul Church. Let me pray for you if that's all right. Most gracious and eternal Father, there are some out today that's hearing me. They've been battling the blues. They've been down and depressed. But above every medicine, you are the great physician. And I'm praying for those individuals who need to know you in a very real way. They've heard your word, and they see how fear and fatigue and a lack of faith can cause us to have the blues. But you are the great lifter of heads. You're the one who knows how to make things right. And so we pray for those individuals right now as they make a decision for you. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for what you've done on this day in Jesus' name. And together, every child of God shouted amen. Come on, let's give God some praise. Hallelujah. Let's give God some praise. Listen, let me just encourage you even right here to give. It's giving time. Somebody ought to shout praise the Lord. It is a blessing to give, and we know that we cannot outgive God. I don't necessarily always talk in terms of tithes and all of that. I talk about sacrificial giving. I talk about grace giving, giving that is related based upon our relationship with God. And I know the Old Testament talks about the 10% and the tithe and all of that. I'm saying that the Bible also shares with us that you ought not give under compulsion, but you ought to literally give sacrificially. It should hurt when we give, amen. That you give sacrificially, you give obediently, you give consistently to the cause of the kingdom. And this is not just about lights, and this is not just about keeping the carpet clean and all of that. This is about spreading the word of God. And the more you give, the more that we can do for Christ. Do I need to tell you that we want to build up our children's department? We want to build up our youth department, our young adults. And listen, we need trained people to help walk through that full time. And so we're going to be looking to hire folk. Come on, somebody. And that's how we're going to push this, because we need to know that, and it costs, and we want to pay people fairly. Hello, somebody. So I want to encourage you to give as best you can. Even we've been having folk all across the country give. And can I just tell you right now, and this is just, listen, we are above our budget at this time in the Lord. Somebody ought to give God praise today. In the midst of a pandemic, we are above our budget. And we've given well over $40,000 this time for our scholarship, whereas this time last year we were only at $5,000. Are you listening to me? Ain't nobody but God that can continue to bless us during a pandemic, and it's only because of your faithful giving. Listen, God has been good to us. And listen, we give because God first gave to us. So I want to encourage you. We got 5 ways to give. We made it easy for you. So keep on giving. Let God use you in a mighty way. And I guarantee you, you'll find out that you cannot outgive God. Somebody say amen. 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 Listen, I want to, before we go, just a few quick announcements. I want to introduce today our new music director, our band director, Brother Damon DJ Barber. Amen. I'm excited. He's gifted. Amen. This brother can play a multiplicity of instruments. He played an organ, he played a drums, he played the guitar, the bass. Amen. Played the keys. He's gifted. And can I tell you, the young G is only 21. 21? Oh, praise God. Nobody but the Lord. So welcome to the St. Paul family, DJ. And then I also need to tell you real quickly, we're going to be starting a chaplaincy program, and the goal is to make sure that all of our members know that we care. That'll be a slogan, we care. Listen, in their time of need, and we're establishing a church chaplaincy program. We're going to train our volunteers to serve, yes, as an extension of the benevolent care for those who are in need. We want to extend to the hospitals and to the prisons visitation, as well as to our seniors. And there will be an 8-week course of training. And we're looking to stand up this church chaplaincy program in November. So look for that and look for more details. And I want hopefully all of our associates and our deacons and some our women to be part of this chaplaincy program so that God can use you in a mighty way. Can I just tell you, pastor can't be everywhere. And God got gifted people who can stand in the gap. Hello, somebody. And so we're going to institute this chaplaincy program. And then also we got 28 deacons that we're about to go after. Hello, somebody. So you know who you are. And with the deacon come the deaconess as well. They are valuable. And the word deacon and deaconess in the Bible is not two different words. Hello, it's one word. It's one word. So the deacon and deaconess, listen, are one and the same. When you get the deacon, you got to get the deaconess. Hello, somebody. They're one word. Ain't no two words. Hello is just servant. Are you listening to me? So look for that. That's coming as well. And then our vaccinations and COVID testing is coming. We also want, and so be mindful that we are doing the rapid testing every Friday, and there's a $20 gift card. There was a line out the church on last Friday for folk to get tested. I got tested myself, and I want to encourage all of us to continue to get tested, because this new variant out there, some people who have already been vaccinated are getting COVID. And I also need to tell you that this is what you got to get. I know I got to go, but this is what I got to tell you. That out of 194 that we tested 2 weeks ago, 16 tested positive. But of those 16 that were not vaccinated, it was a total of 16. What does that say to us? That those that are not getting vaccinated are the ones who are catching this thing. And you got to be careful. 16 out of 16 were not vaccinated. We have to ask the question. And I want to encourage you, if you haven't got vaccinated, please, beloved, get vaccinated. And then also we're looking at reopenings, and we're going to do it big. We're going to try to do it big. So there's a tentative date of September 5th, 2001. We're still going to follow the CDC. We're still going to follow the county and the guidelines. And it's not a hard September 5th. It is kind of we got to wait and see, but we're planning and preparing, and we're going to try to reopen. And then also I want to remind you that, again, I'm going on vacation, but the first Sunday in August will be for me 1 year as the senior pastor of St. Paul. I made it 1 year. If I can't say anything else, I made it 1 year. And somebody asked me, pastor, you gonna We're going to have service. We're going to do pastor's anniversary. Well, I need y'all to know that ain't me. That ain't how I roll. I ain't knocking how we used to do it, and I'm not knocking other brothers who do it. But that's just not how I roll. And they say, well, pastor, they asked me, don't you need the money? I said, well, yeah, sure, I need money and all of that. I got two kids in college, and I got a wife that likes to shop at Macy's and a daughter who likes to go with her. So, you know, if y'all want to bless me, I ain't going to block your blessing. You know how to get it to me. Amen. If God can get it through you, he can get it to me. Come on, somebody help me. So I ain't going to block your blessing. They got Cash App and Zelle and cards, and you can drop it off at the church, and the church will make sure I get it if you want me to have it. But if not, it's all right. You ain't got to put no money in it. Just text me and say, pastor, I just appreciate you for making it lasting a year as tough as this. I'll be on vacation, but believe me, that first Sunday, I'll be shouting and giving God glory and praise on my vacation. Somebody say amen. All right, I'm done for the day. Let's give God some praise and glory. Y'all got a song that y'all can sing?